At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Bible is clear about many things. It's clear that God is a jealous God, and we are not to have any idols. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again. The Bible makes it clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible also makes it clear that there is a day of judgment to come. But one of the things that the Bible tells us to do is to acquire knowledge. Proverbs 18, verse 15 says, "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge."
One of the most fundamental principles for any Christian is that you should be meditating on the Word of God. And this applies to all of us. New Christian, young in the Spirit, young in faith, new in their walk with God. This one principle applies to all of us. You need to meditate on God's Word. And regardless of those who've been in the faith for years and years, this principle also applies. Our lives, our inner spirit man, and our souls need to meditate on the Word of God.
Those who are intelligent, those who are prudent and discerning, they seek to acquire knowledge. But why? Why is knowledge so important? Well, Hosea 4, verse 6 in the New King James Version says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Saints, we need knowledge concerning the authority that we have in Jesus. Because when you lack this knowledge, there's no way that you can walk in dominion. There is no way you can walk in victory because you would have no knowledge of who you are in Christ. We need knowledge and wisdom because a lack of knowledge can result in you being deceived. The Bible tells us that even the devil transforms himself into an angel of light. People with a lack of knowledge will see signs and wonders and think that it's a move of God, not knowing that the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 in the Amplified Translation, "The coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is through the activity of Satan, attended with great power, all kinds of counterfeit miracles and deceptive signs and false wonders. All of them lies." When you have a lack of knowledge, you will believe anything and everything. You'll follow any doctrine, accept any teaching, and be drawn by any miraculous sign. However, to guard yourself against this, the Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Saints, in order to gain knowledge, you have to invest time. You have to invest effort in seeking the Lord. You have to seek Him in prayer. You have to seek Him in His Word. I believe that there are things, there are lessons and deep revelations that God can only reveal to you once you begin to chase Him with an intensity. Once you commit yourself to seeking the Lord and seeking His presence, God will show up. This is why Jeremiah 33, verse 3 in the New King James Version says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So I encourage you to equip yourself with the knowledge that is in the Word of God. I encourage you to sincerely ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask him for understanding and for knowledge. The Word of God warns us that people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Don't let that be you. James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now let's
Now, meditation by definition requires that we focus on one particular thing.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It requires us to give our full, undivided attention to one thing. Meditating on God's Word means you set aside all other distractions and we intentionally focus on the Lord's Word. Biblical meditation is you listening to God's voice, especially through His Word in Scripture. Now, whether you care to admit it or not, we all meditate on something. For some people, it's their dreams and aspirations of one day acquiring that big house. For others, it's all about getting their business to increase its profits. There is always something that you are meditating on. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The Bible specifically calls us to meditate on things that are wholesome, godly, and of a righteous nature. The greatness of God and His nature are rich subjects of meditation. This is why David said in Psalm 77, verse 12, "I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds." When was the last time you simply meditated on what God has done? We can so easily fall into a pit of depression when something doesn't go our way. We can begin to recount all the times we've been disappointed and let down. But here's the thing. When did you last spend time just meditating on what God has done? When did you last count your blessings? When did you last spend time thinking of the mercy God has shown you, the grace and favor He's shown you, and the doors He has opened? Now, in this modern day, we have so many things competing for our attention, for our time, for our focus. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Let me draw your attention to a couple of points. We are to meditate on God's Word day and night. Secondly, the verse says, "Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So meditating on God's Word leads to prosperity and success? That's what the Bible says. And here's why we need to take the Word of God seriously in every aspect of our lives. The characteristics of the Word of God is that it is living. It has life. It brings life. And in reference to John 1, verse 1, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we all know that God is the giver of life. God is the source of life. The source of eternal life, therefore, His Word is living. There are other powerful descriptions about the Word of God in other parts of the Bible. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, the Bible reads, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" These are symbolic descriptions as God likens His word to fire and a hammer. But why fire? Why would God liken His word to a fire? I believe that this is because fire destroys impurities. Refining with flame is one of the oldest methods of purifying metals. And just like how metal can be purified through fire, our hearts, our souls, our impurities are refined through the Word of God. That's why God likens His Word to fire. And when you look at a hammer, and you look at the Word of God being described as being like a hammer, you have to understand that the same hammer that destroys can also build or strengthen and reinforce. The Word of God is like a hammer that destroys evil. It crushes a person's unholy conscience because it is God's very own Word. You cannot deal with God and not change. You cannot meditate on the Word of God and not be changed. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So the Word of God is like a hammer that helps to build faith. Another characteristic about the Word of God is that it is like a mirror. James 1 verse 23 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." The Word of God is like a mirror. And what does a mirror do? It allows one to see their blemishes and imperfections. The Word of God shows us the true reflection of what we are to aspire to in terms of being Christ-like, and therefore we can see ourselves and see where we fall short in comparison to His Word. So will you make a choice today to meditate on the Word of the Lord? Will you make it a habit to meditate on the things of God?
Be sober. Be well balanced and be self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. That's the Word of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. There's an old saying, when it rains, it pours. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like there's something going on in your life and it's deeper than what your eyes can see? Have you ever felt like there's something going on in your family or in your household that doesn't seem natural? Like there's some other force at work, because it's one thing after another. It's attack after attack. It's battle after battle. From another perspective, have you ever felt like when things are going wrong at home, they tend to carry over in other areas of life? It's like when something is going on with your kids at home and it affects your work. Or when something is going on in your marriage and it affects your interaction with your kids. Or if something is going on at work and it affects all of the above, it quickly becomes apparent that all of these things are interconnected. And it also reminds us that if the devil can get a foothold in one area, then he has gained a foothold in all of these areas. The devil is trying in an unprecedented way to destroy families today. He wants to disrupt the family system and order. Satan knows that if the Christian family is intact, if the Christian family is working in one accord, then it's one of the strongest weapons against his deceptions. From the day that Satan spewed his lies to Eve, he was in the process of disruption. In order to maximize his deception, he approached Eve when she was alone. He approached her when she was separated from the family unit. And he did this because a divided family is easier to conquer. The devil is in the business of sowing discord and division in our homes. He's in the business of causing senseless fights and conflicts. The devil is in the business of causing husbands' hearts to stray away from their wives, and vice versa, he wants the hearts of wives to stray from their husbands. The enemy is in the business of causing children to be rebellious and to have a complaining spirit. Satan wants to destroy our households because he knows that a spiritually weak home is the easiest way to take us away from God. He's not new at this. He's been at it for a long, long time. The strategy of Satan is to attempt to divide and conquer the family. Immediately after that, he instigates destruction between the same family members. And the Bible is full of stories of dysfunctional families that fell to the disruption of the enemy. If Satan was able to disrupt the families of giants of faith, such as Abraham, Jacob, David, and Solomon, then we should be aware of the enemy's schemes and prepare to defend our homes. Now, when it comes to guarding ourselves and our families against the deceptions and invasions of the enemy, the first question is, how does the devil gain access to our homes and minds? How does he try to gain access to disrupt our families and our lives? One of the biggest ways that the devil gains a foothold in our families today is through media. Music, movies, and social media are huge access points to our families. Music accesses our brains and bodies in a way that few other mediums do. The messages in music today are ripe with sinful themes like lust, sex, violence, rebellion, among other sinful things. This is one of the easiest ways for Satan to gain access to our minds and souls. We listen to lyrics with this content and become desensitized to it. Before we know it, we begin to think that these sinful themes are not so bad, and lust, fornication, violence, and rebellion have taken root in our hearts and in our homes. Along these same lines, movies and television are perfect pathways for the enemy to take root in our homes. We constantly watch things full of violence, sex, cursing, and all kinds of other images that lodge themselves in our brains and hearts. Studies have shown that by fifth grade, the average child has seen 8,000 murders on television. Think about that. Think about how Satan might be using that to gain a foothold in our households. Not to mention all of the blatantly demonic content in TV and movies. There are full movies and shows directly about demons, spirits, and evil spiritual forces that we readily let into our homes. We are literally opening the door for Satan to come and dwell in our homes. The same goes for social media, which has all of these same elements, but also has the added seduction of obsession with self, image, and other people's opinions. The question for us now is, how do we resist the wiles of the devil in our families? How can we close the doors through which the enemy can enter? First, we can be much more vigilant about the entertainment choices we allow in our households. We need to monitor all the content in our homes in one way or another. An additional strategy when it comes to safeguarding our homes and families is that we should cultivate regular family worship and devotional time together. If a family is starting or ending their days in prayer, worship, and Bible study, that makes it much more difficult for the devil to get a foothold in that family. That family has girded themselves with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Taking up this armor of God in our families is what will guard them against the deceptions and temptations of the enemy. Let us put on the armor like spiritual warriors. Let us guard our homes from the enemy. Let us resist the devil, and he will flee from us.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.